3, 2, 1, see ya.
You're listening to the Beast Life Podcast with your hosts, Randy and Brian.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Base Life Podcast. This is a new year, new you, new format, new podcast coming at you. I'm trying something new because the in-person interview format isn't working with any sort of consistency in between my schedule and how much I travel and getting people lined up with any sort of consistency. So I'm going to try something new. I still don't really like the WebEx or virtual interviews. I just don't get that connection with the other person. Like, I can't read body language. There's certain things that I just don't really care for in that format, and I'm going to try that some more, you know. And I still intend to do in-person interviews, but you either adapt and evolve or you go extinct. So I'm trying something a little bit different here, and I'm going to put a little more emphasis on the life in the Base Life Podcast. There are a lot of things that I think I can share that are applicable to base jumping, whether you're a new jumper or whether you're pretty seasoned. Things that have worked for me and things that I'm constantly tweaking or trying out or applying. Because like base jumping is tough. It's physically and mentally challenging. You pretty much always find yourself in high stress situations. I mean, even if you're on a legal object with a bunch of friends, beautiful weather, and nothing, all lights are green, so to speak. You know, like, you're still on the edge of an object, you know, whether it's a bridge, building, whatever, you're still on the edge of an object and getting ready to jump off of it, which defies a lot of logic and is inherently stressful. I think I've got some tips and tricks and things that I'd like to talk about over, I don't know. I haven't quite decided how frequently I'm going to do this. You know, I think at least a couple times a month I'd like to put something out. Just to keep things going, keep this podcast alive, continue to contribute to the base community. Because that's really what this podcast was all about. It was like giving back to the community, doing something, sharing experience. You know. I started skydiving in 2003 and base jumping in 2010, so I'm not dead yet. So I figure I've got some stuff to share, things that have worked. But so if you're listening to this relatively recently after release, then Happy New Year. Back in, I want to say 2014, going into 15, or maybe it was 13, going into 14. I spent New Year's in Lauterbrunnen, and the late Walter Hilscher and his son Matthias were trying to organize a New Year's jump from High Nose, and it was really dark and really overcast, and midnight seemed a lot farther away than I cared to to wait, with regard to holding off on the beverages, and it was so cold and so snowy, and I still respect those two for having the I don't know what you want to call it, but having the desire to hike to High Nose in the snow, in the cold, wait until midnight, and then see they had some glow sticks in their wingsuits, and like I mean, it was dark, and there was really no way to, I mean, you could see well enough to not, you know, land and not hit any objects, but flying in those conditions was, not only was that risk I was not really interested in taking, I also wanted to start celebrating. So, as far as I can remember, those, they were the only two that actually jumped, as we crossed into that new year. But, I made sure I was in the landing area along with half a dozen other people, and we had some champagne waiting for them, and it was a good time. You know, I still think about Walter quite a bit. He was one of those low key, you know, sort of base guys that I looked up to. He was always willing to provide some guidance or some recommendations or suggestions, usually when I needed it most. You know, and guys like him are pretty special, and you know, think about him a lot. But especially around New Year's and that silly jump they did. That anyways, thought I'd share that story with you. So moving along, you know, I think I'm going to start talking about books as well. Like I listen to a lot of books on Audible. My Spotify actually does books as well, so, and I have to juggle, I always check before I pay for an Audible book, I check to see if it's on Spotify first, and more of the books that I want to listen to are on Spotify, so I might be canceling my Audible account soon. I don't know, we'll see, but with the amount of driving I do, whether it's going to Lauterbrunnen or going to work, I spend a lot of time in the car. So I listen to a lot of Audible books, try and make the most of that time, whether it's a commute or a long drive. Because I'm just, you know, constantly trying to improve or learn something, or not just waste time, because, you know, the clock's ticking, and you know, want to learn as much as I can while I can. But this book I want to recommend, it came up in this last podcast with Trevor Thompson, but it's called The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. The official name is The Comfort Crisis: Embrace Discomfort to Reclaim Your Wild, Happy, Healthy Self. And Maybe this will resonate more with some of the older jumpers or people that have been not, well, older could mean a couple of things, right? People that have been in the, like, you meet a lot of people age-wise, or I meet a lot of people age-wise that are, say, older than, you know, me. I'm, at the time of this recording, I'm 40, that are getting into base later in life. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there are people that are, I mean, I was 27 when I started base jumping. So I'm not sure this book would have resonated with me back then. And if you're in your first couple of years of jumping, this book probably won't resonate, because after I read the, basically the back cover of this book, you'll understand that you're probably already doing a lot of these things. But so The Comfort Crisis. Here's the synopsis. Discover the evolutionary mind and body benefits of living at the edges of your comfort zone and reconnecting with the wild. In many ways, we're more comfortable than ever before, but could our sheltered, temperature-controlled, overfed, under-challenged lives actually be the leading cause of many of our most urgent physical and mental health issues? In this gripping investigation, award-winning journalist Michael Easter seeks out off-the-grid visionaries, disruptive genius researchers, and mind-body conditioning trailblazers who are unlocking the life-enhancing secrets of a counterintuitive solution, discomfort. Easter's journey to understand our evolutionary need to be challenged takes him to meet the MBA's top exercise scientist, who uses an ancient Japanese practice to build championship athletes, to the mythical country of Bhutan, where an Oxford economist and Buddhist leader are showing the world what death can teach us about happiness, to the outdoor lab of a young neuroscientist who's found that nature tests our physical and mental endurance in ways that expand creativity while taming burnout and anxiety, to the remote Alaskan backcountry on a demanding 33-day hunting expedition to experience the rewilding secrets of one of the last rugged places on Earth, and more. Along the way, Easter uncovers a blueprint for leveraging the power of discomfort that will dramatically improve our health and happiness and perhaps even help us understand what it means to be human. The Comfort Crisis is a bold call to break out of your comfort zone and explore the wild within yourself. All right. So, The Comfort Crisis. Yeah. I listened to this book twice in 2023, and I listened to Michael Easter's second book, which I'm blanking on at the moment. We also talked about that in Trevor's podcast. But one thing that, so Michael Easter talks to a bunch of experts about, you know, ways, like counterintuitive ways to improve your life. Ever since I think it even started before I was base jumping. This is something that I've just always done. Like, I've never been the best at anything. I'm a very average person. But I'm observant, and I like to pull nuggets from high-level people. Like, I, fortunately, due to, you know, being my proximity to Lauterbrunnen, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of high-level base jumpers, skydivers, and travel around to different parts of the world and participate in, like, wingsuit camps and go to base events. And just, I'm really fortunate to call and to have called, I should say, a lot of high-level jumpers my friend. And some other types of athletes as well. And so I've always sort of tried to figure out what it was that set them apart, and then maybe apply some of those things to my life. You know, whether it was trying to stay fit or whether it was trying to, like, stay limber or do certain things to be better. I mean, I quit my job and decided to work at a drop zone because at the time, all the best jumpers were working at drop zones. Are they, like, I mean, Skydive Dubai was just crushing everything at the time, and all those dudes worked at Dubai. And working at Dubai was a bit beyond my reach at the time. I mean, I to be honest, I didn't even look into it. But I had a connection. I was really well connected at Skydive Hawaii, so that's where I ended up working. The thing with that was that Hawaii didn't have a very strong wingsuit culture at the time. But, you know, I was willing to take risks and try things to improve my jumping. And ultimately, I ended up, you know, redirecting my entire life and living in Europe so that I could be closer to Lauterbrunnen and be those magical Swiss Alp cliffs. But, yeah, so that's part of what I like about this Comfort Crisis and what Michael Easter does. Like, he talks to all sorts of different experts, and there are some really neat things that you can pull out of this book and apply to your life and directly and indirectly apply to your base career. One in particular is that he talks about rucking. Now, if you're not familiar with the term rucking, that basically means putting heavy things in a book bag and then going for a walk. And anyone that has done a mountain jump particularly in the Alps, has probably put a base rig on their back. Well, no probably to it. You have put a base rig on your back and you've gone for a walk. Sometimes, like if you're in somewhere like, say, Chamonix, the walk might not be that far at the beginning. Maybe you get that little gondola and then... Actually, I don't even think it's open right now. I don't know what's going on over in Cham. But there might be a walk after the fact. I know in Lauterbrunnen, you're going to... Most of the main jumps, you're looking at 45 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on your speed. Some of it's uphill. Like when you start going to like Milkstuhl and say some of the other jumps that are near Lauterbrunnen but not one of the proper valley jumps, yeah, you're going to be doing 2.5-3 hours. Oh, you know, of course, like Mushroom, some of those. Yeah, you're putting some work in. And you got however much gear your weighs on your back. So that's that actually, if the gravity doesn't hit you too hard, that sort of activity is actually going to lead to your longevity, because there's a direct correlation to being load bearing and being able to carry heavy loads and living longer. It's something to think about. The another thing that he covers is that, you know, on the other side of hardship is growth. I don't know how to put it. Like most good stories have some sort of challenge or difficulty. You know, you don't like have this like story where it's like, oh yeah, no, I went home and absolutely nothing happened on the way there, and then nothing happened while I was there, and then nothing happened on the way back. It's not a good story. You know, usually it's like, the airplane was canceled, or they lost my bags, or whatever, that kind of stuff. But, or going whitewater rafting, it's like, well, if the boat doesn't flip, or if something, you know, if someone doesn't fall out, like, where's the fun part in the story, you know? So, and usually challenging, scary situations, which I think... as base jumpers, you understand, like this, those make the good stories, you know, that's part of the fun. And part of what Easter's trying to do is get people to sort of reclaim their wild side, which probably won't resonate much with base jumpers, but, when you get in an air conditioned car, you're in a seated position, driving to work, and then you get up just to go to another air-conditioned building and sit down at a computer or whatever. There are things that I think most people can relate to that he'll point out. But even with base jumping and like things that have become my normal. Living as close to Lauterbrunnen as I do and everything else, I forget that some things are not normal to most people. So I don't know. I hope you check this book out. Hit me up on Instagram if you did listen to it, if you did like it, and then we'll maybe engage on it. @base.life is the Instagram. I have email for the podcast, but I won't lie, I don't check it. My day job, I live and die by email, so I don't really like doing that stuff when I'm doing my own thing. But all right, so I think I'm gonna try and wrap this up. Since this is sort of a new year podcast, new format, I thought I would share a couple of goals with you, what I'm trying to do in 2024. As I mentioned, I'm going to try and record more consistently, whether it's this droning on diatribe of me just talking to myself and hoping other people listen, or having people on. Yeah, we'll see. But I am trying to record more consistently. To contribute to the community. somewhere on my whiteboard here, I don't know what I was listening to at the time, but I wrote down share knowledge and show up. So that's what I'm trying to do with this podcast. I'm trying to share some knowledge and I'm trying to show up, whether that's show up in Lauterbrunnen, show up at some of base events, or just show up for the podcast, you know, just to make it happen. So that's sort of what I'm trying to do here. For mental strength, I am studying chess. I'm trying to get better at chess. What that looks like right now is about 30 minutes a day, a mix of doing puzzles, watching lessons, and then playing people. I use chess.com. My handle on chess.com is WTFRandy. No dots or spaces. So if you play chess, look me up. Let's have a game. I'm not very good, so if you want to like feel better about yourself, play chess with me. but hopefully it won't be that way forever. And part of the reason I chose WTF Randy as my handle is I have a few friends that are pretty good, and I make some silly moves, and they're like, "What the? Why did you do that, Randy?" So, but eventually, I want to get good enough to where they're like, "What the fuck, Randy? Like, what? How did you? Like, I didn't see that. You know, I didn't see that move." So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. And also in one of the previous episodes, I mentioned running a marathon. That was one of my 2023 goals. So I ran the Jungfrau Marathon, which had 7,000 feet of elevation gain over 26.2 miles, or like 42.2 kilometers for those that do metric. And I learned a lot about myself in that race, and I realized I also, you know, it was my first marathon. I did not realize most marathons don't have that kind of elevation. I just really had never looked into it, you know. Like I'm not. Sometimes I don't do a lot of research. I don't do a lot of planning, and I just kind of send it. And that marathon was one of those times. And granted, I did do a lot of running leading up to that race. But my longest run really was only the half marathon. And so when I got to Lauterbrunnen, and the far end of Lauterbrunnen and started heading up to Vingen, I was in uncharted territory because I was like, okay, well, this is the farthest I'd ever run. And another neat thing from that was that I ran right past the spot where I broke my leg pretty significantly in 2018. That was kind of weird, kind of neat, and leg felt fine. But at the end of that race, my friend Marco, who I hope to have on the podcast this year, the first things out of his mouth were like, "Congratulations, let's do an Ironman in 2024. And I could not, I was like, forget that. Like, yeah, absolutely not. I don't want to think about any races for a while. And, it took him about 4 or 5 days, but eventually he did convince me to sign up for an Ironman. And full disclosure, I didn't know. I knew there was swimming, cycling, and running, but I didn't know the distances. I should have done a little bit of research. At the time of this recording, we're about 6 months out from the race, doing the Klagenfurt Ironman in Austria. And for those that aren't familiar, I don't even have the numbers in front of me. It's like a 3.4 kilometer swim, which is like 2.5 miles, something like that. 112 mile bike ride, which I'm blanking on what that is in kilometers at the moment, and then a marathon. But from what I understand, like, the bike ride isn't too hilly and the run is pretty flat, so it should be okay. Because, like I said about with my marathon, I was like, that was so much elevation gain. Like, I'm not scared of marathons anymore. I feel like that's a distance that, like, once you cover it, like, it flips a switch in your brain, and then things change. At least they did for me. But with Iron Man training, I've had to become really disciplined with my time. Because they're, like, whether it's prepping your bag, driving to the pool, getting to the gym, finding the workout on Zwift for your, you know, for the 2 hour ride you're going to do, and then maybe finding a movie or something to watch on your phone while you're doing the Zwift workout. And then, so there's all sorts of, or listening to, audiobooks, which I do sometimes, but I also find myself, like, not being able to focus on the book too much. I don't know. Either way, doing an Ironman, but, when I was younger and probably healthier and, no, probably to it, just more physically capable of doing an Ironman, I don't think I had the organizational skills to prepare for, to do the training. Like, 'cause the training is, it's significant. I'm averaging, I don't know, probably nine to 10 hours of training right now. And it's only going to ramp up, 9 to 10 hours of training per week. And that's where, you know, we were in the building phase. Now we're like getting a little bit more serious, but yeah, it takes organizational skills. And, luckily, you know, I love my morning routine, my evening routine. And those are things I hope to get into on later podcasts. In fact, maybe I'll just share my morning routine in the next one. And where it started and how I got to where I'm at with my morning routine. And then, you know, why I do it. Yeah, you're going to hear about ice baths. I'm one of those nerds. Yeah, I'm sure Instagram has probably tried to sell you an ice bath by now. Or maybe that's just my echo chamber. I don't know. But, yeah, so those are my goals. Record more consistently. Play chess, do an Ironman, you know, and I'm gonna share things that the mental, the physical, semi-spiritual things that I'm doing that all sort of apply toward base to improve my chances of living, also to maybe make the people around me. Better is not the right term, but contribute positively to the people around me while I'm base jumping, you know, and just be more prepared. You know, like on the mental side of things, you need a certain level of patience and you need a certain level of calm, and you need a certain level of focus to improve your odds of living and being successful. I mean, I found myself on top of mountains when weather changed, and you had to figure out what to do. Like, are we hiking down? Are we calling rescue services? Are we waiting this out? I found myself on a rooftop, and there just happened to be a police DUI checkpoint right next to our getaway vehicle, and we had to decide what to do. It's like, because do we risk, you know, well, if we jump right now, for sure the police are probably going to see us. So that option's not good. Do we hang out up here and hope that security doesn't come see us? Well, I mean, that's an option. Do we try and go back down and risk being discovered by security? All these different things. So, you know, there's definitely a mental aspect, decision-making aspect. And I, you know, I covered on some of the physical stuff, you know, with long hikes. If you're into that bandit stuff, you're probably going to be using stairwells a lot because elevators have cameras. And typically you want to do that stuff unseen. So if you live somewhere flat, antennas have ladders usually. If you're lucky, some antennas actually do have elevators. But yeah, probably going to be doing a lot of ladder climbing. Or stair climbing, or hiking. So yeah, physical stuff, mental stuff. That's the kind of thing I want to share with you. And this will probably get a little bit more organized as I get a little bit more practiced at just talking by myself. I hope you enjoyed this. Also, hey, 2024, if you are going to Lauterbrunnen, don't forget to buy your landing card if you plan to jump in the valley this year. The SBA is doing something a little bit different with their survey, so please take a look at that. I'll put a link in the show notes. And I hope to see you at an exit sometime, somewhere this year. As I said before, I'm on mostly, if you want to communicate with me, it's probably going to be on Instagram. And I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I hope maybe you got something out of this, and maybe I hope you check out The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter, and maybe we can talk about it sometime. So with that being said, this has been a new format, new Base Life podcast. I will talk to you next time.
Good night, Steve.
All right, well,
sleep tight.
This was, yeah.
Angel.